We base our words this morning on the text that has just been read. Certainly here we have missions and outreach in action. Paul is in prison in Rome. Although he's in chains, he's not alone. Luke the physician is with him. Onesimus, the runaway slave, is there. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, the one whom Paul had refused to work with but now highly commends to the Colossians, is there. Epaphras, the messenger that had carried that good word to Colossae in the beginning, was there. Many others were there. The letters addressed to the Christians in Colossae, as we know, Colossae was an important city in the middle of what is today Turkey. It was in a wealthy farming area in the valley of the Lycus River. It stood on that Roman road that went east out of Ephesus, about 100 miles to the east, very near to Laodicea. In fact, Herodotus spoke of Colossae as the great city of Phrygia. Why? Because it stood on the head of the road that went up into the mountains, the pass, in fact, through which Xerxes and Cyrus had come to the west through Turkey, trying to reach Greece. Religiously, Colossae was a city that was dominated by the belief of demonic spirits. These spirits, in the thought of the Colossians, controlled the people's lives. Most of them were hostile to the people. Gnosticism was also prevalent. It thought that the spirit alone is good and that matter was not created out of nothing, the way we have it in Genesis 1, but rather that it was created out of flawed material. The Colossian reaction to Gnosticism was either asceticism to correct that flawed sarx, or it was a sense of utter irresponsibility over against the flawed state of the sarx, a kind of life which led to libertinism, to all kinds of physical excesses. Now, how did the Word of God come to that city? It all started with Paul in Ephesus. There he was, preaching Christ as the Messiah, as the one and only way. And as he taught there, the result were a number of power encounters. And how interesting they are, and how important I believe they are for the getting out of the good news in our times too. The first significant confrontation was that of the evil spirit that induced a devastating attack on those 7 sons of the Jewish priest Sceva. Because they had tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to cast out evil spirits without actually recognizing the sovereignty of Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. What was the results? We read that the Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus were filled with fear and that the name of the Lord Jesus was given great honor. The second confrontation was between Jesus and magic. The Ephesians and many others of that day practiced magic, or as we would call it today, witchcraft. They manipulated the spiritual powers through sacred writings, very much like spiritualists today do in animistic parts of the world with the so-called 6th and 7th books of Moses. The Ephesian Christians realized that a clear-cut choice had to be made. They renounced magic. They burned the book, and we read, in this powerful way, the word of the Lord kept spreading out and growing stronger. The third confrontation was with the silversmiths over the issue of whether man-made gods are really gods at all. It led to a confrontation, a riot, in which the Greek-Roman kind of democracy prevailed. And whether we realize it or not, the way was open at that moment for that good news to go out through the province of Asia. And it set kind of a pattern at that time for allowing Christianity to live. The riot also brought an end to Paul's 3-year evangelism campaign in Ephesus. He went on to Macedonia, but others stayed behind and they carried on the work of witness. One of those probably was Epaphras, a native of Colossae. Quite probably, he was there and he saw these confrontations taking place, maybe on the edge, listening, watching, wondering, finally accepting Jesus as his personal Savior. The great part of his story is that he immediately became a missionary. He went down that Roman road back to Colossae and he planted the church there. Wouldn't it be great if 10 years from now, each one of us could look the other in the eye and say, praise God for Epaphras. The word is spread out in South Dakota, in California, in Tennessee, in Nigeria, in Guatemala, in Sierra Leone, etc., etc., because of what God has done through you and through your family, my brother. But now back to our text. The text finds Paul in prison in Rome. Where does it find you and me? Probably you're anticipating your summer job, your summer vicarage, your vicarage assignment, or your call into the holy ministry. Possibly you're thinking about what kind of a house will I have, or how will the people treat me? How was it for Paul? The problem for him was a closed door. He was standing in front of that closed door and he was waiting for it to open up so that something could come through. We see him in our text pleading with those Colossian Christians that they would pray that the door would be open, not his prison door, but the Tarantu Lagoon. The door closed against the word of God. Paul was pleading with those Corinthians that they would pray to God that he and that the others with him in Rome would have every good opportunity to speak to others the mysterion to Christu, the mysteries of God as we talk about it, the wonderful good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. What a lesson! Can you and I today really follow in that model of St. Paul? Can we plead with our families and with our friends that God will open up the door so that you and your families will have many good opportunities to speak the good news of the forgiveness of salvation in Jesus Christ? That should be our prayer too. It's interesting too that for St. Paul, Christ was all in all. In fact, the main thrust of this whole epistle to the Colossians is to establish that there is just no other way. That Jesus himself is the key that opens up the hidden treasure of God's wisdom and knowledge. In fact, that it was by the physical death of the Son of God that God has made peace, that he has brought everything back to himself. And thirdly, that all previous religiosity is at best a shadow, as it's put here, but that the soma, the essence, the reality is Christ. No matter where you turn in the scriptures that God has given us to through St. Paul, you're going to find something else in focus, and that is prayer. We see that he followed very closely in the footsteps of his Lord and Master Jesus Christ, who is also a great man of prayer. In our text, St. Paul challenges us to persevere in prayer. And in his situation, we might have expected Paul to be praying for release from prison, maybe for better accommodations, for an opportunity and the freedom to take that trip to Spain. Other personal matters could easily have been in focus for him. But again, Paul brings forward a tremendous personal example. He calls there on the Christians and on us too, no matter what our personal situation is. He says, pray that God would give an open opportunity for the word to get out to others. No wonder then that Paul could say in this book of Colossians in chapter 1, verses 25 and 29, I have been made a servant of the church of God. You know, he wasn't a lone ranger. A servant of the church of God who gave me this task to perform for your good. It's the task of fully proclaiming his message. To get this done, I toil and struggle, using the mighty strength which Christ supplies and which is at work in me. For Paul, it was never just a matter of words, but it was always words together with action. And again, we see him saying to the Colossians, and I think to you and to me also, be wise in the way that you act toward those who are not believers. Make good use of every opportunity that you have. Your speech should always be pleasant and interesting, and you should know how to give the right answer to everyone. What a gift if God can do that for us, and he will. We pray. I believe if Paul were here today, he would want to say to all of us, and you know we're all cross-cultural ministers in some way or another. In a few minutes, we're going to pray especially for some who go to situations in which there are large cultural gaps. But in a sense, this day is for all of us because we're all bringing that message to people who are different than we are. And this is what the Lord would say through Paul to us today. God loves each one of you. He's chosen you to be his own. Therefore, be thankful. Let Christ's message in all its richness live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your heart. Everything that you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father.